and so on. And then we have like 7-hour people. 7 hours? Something like that? 7 hour. Who are 7-hour people? Who's 7-hour people? Yeah. So you know, you have different, anyway, but because of that, sometimes people come late and so on. And so the first meeting is, it ends up being like a warm-up kind of thing. But actually, we found out that about 330 out of 380 are going to make it tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, so, and most are here. Most are here already. So a few will trickle in later. But there's no need for tonight to be just a kind of warm-up because the burden that we're going to share with you is so strong in our hearts. We can't afford, we don't have time to just have a throwaway meeting, if you understand what I mean. We really want to get into the burden from the very, very, very beginning. And I just think that, that you know, we come to this place, and our desire in purchasing this property and in having conferences like this, where we get away from everything, just get away from everything, that's good to a certain extent, because we can get away outside. But actually, you could be sitting here and still be back at home. And you could be sitting here and still preoccupied by things. So I'd like to suggest this. How about let's sing the chorus a few times. Just the chorus. But sisters, we're going to sing a little slower. Just follow, okay, when we start. Are you with me? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Follow me. Slower. Okay. Slower. But I'd like to do this way. How about the brothers will sing the chorus, but as the brothers sing, how about sisters, all the sisters, just say the Lord's name or just call the Lord's name. And of course, you know, it doesn't have to be too loud because it doesn't say call in that verse. It just says say. No one can say Jesus is Lord without being in the Holy Spirit. Like, you get into the Holy Spirit just by saying the name. Let's say the name. Let's say the name Jesus.
Jesus.
You just, even quieter.
Jesus.
Even you just say the name Jesus and you get into the Holy Spirit. And your heart turns to Him by calling His name. So let's sing. And sisters, the whole chorus through, just call the Lord's name. Just say the Lord's name. And I don't mean the kind of all together sing-songy way that we do it sometimes. You know how we do it? Oh, Lord Jesus. That's good. That's okay. If you want to do that way too. But I mean, do it your way. That's what I'm saying. So let's sing the chorus. Brothers. Like this. Just by calling Jesus. That. Free moment. And sisters, you can close your eyes and call if you want.
Calling on the name of Jesus.
Amen. Jesus.
Where finding is the way.
Oh, Jesus. Amen.
Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Brothers, let's sing again. Sing it again, even quieter.
Just by calling Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen, Lord. It's Jesus. Lord Jesus. This time, sisters, you sing it. Brothers, you have the chance. Just call. Just say the name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Might be good, brothers, we close our eyes. That way helps us focus. Just call the Lord's name. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Sister, sing again. Just by calling. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says this. Actually, one of the brothers just prayed it out in the prayer we just had before. The name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. You know, you can run into the Lord's name for protection. Sometimes your mind is bothering you, your anxieties are bothering you, problems, things, you just want to leave them behind. You can just call the Lord's name. And it's like running into a tower, like a refuge, like a refuge. How about this time? Let's call the Lord's name together. And I would say if you want to, do it as loud as you can. But you don't need to. But let's just like from the depths of our heart, let's just call out to him. Let's just call out to him. Let's call Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Oh Lord, Jesus. Oh Lord, Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay. This being the first meeting, it'd be good if we could have some prayers. And maybe we just give not only tonight to the Lord, give the whole conference to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us to turn our hearts, to protect those still on the way, to help us to focus, to gain as much as we can. How about we just give the time as open to anybody and just pray one sentence. You know how we practice sometimes. Just one sentence. You pray for all of us, that one sentence, and Amen. Somebody else prays one sentence, and somebody else prays another sentence, Amen. And a kind of corporate consecration and opening of love to the Lord. Amen. Okay? Let's call just maybe 3, 4, 5, 7 more times. Amen. And then just feel free to just say something to the Lord on behalf of all of us. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 That's Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen.
This weekend.
Amen.
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 More of you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord wants to see you this weekend.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we want to meet you face to face.
Amen.
Choosing us.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Soften our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, supply us with your grace.
Amen.
Oh,
that's right.
Lord Jesus.
Supply us.
Oh,
Lord.
Put us at the spending this week.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh,
Lord.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh,
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you brought us here together for this weekend.
Amen.
We consecrate the whole weekend to you.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you will speak to us.
Amen.
You will shine on us.
Amen.
And you will touch our hearts.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we confess we love you.
Amen.
And we're here for your purpose.
Amen.
We do pray that you would speak what is on your heart.
Amen.
To each and every one of us. From the youngest to the oldest.
Amen.
Oh, we trust in you.
Amen.
We pray your word would touch us,
Amen.
Would speak to us.
Amen.
Oh, causing us to draw closer to you,
Amen.
To love you more,
Amen.
To give ourselves afresh to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we have a strong burden for this weekend, for this conference. As you can tell from the title on your booklet,
yeah.
The subject is not something light.
Right.
The conflict between two kingdoms. It's quite a serious subject and quite an important subject. But I want to open in this way before we get into the outline. I hope that no one feels they are too young for this matter related to the universal warfare of the church. This is the general subject on the, when you open to your first outline, right? Oh no, the conflict between two kingdoms, good. I hope that you would not think the conflict between two kingdoms is too much for you. Maybe you just got saved in this last year, or maybe even the last 2 years and you feel like you're just a young Christian, that's right. Praise the Lord for that. But no one is too young to realize this matter is very clearly revealed in the Bible. There is a conflict in this universe. Whether we realize it, we see it, we don't see it, I hope that after this weekend we would see it a little more and realize it a little more and join ourselves to the Lord to fight with Him, to fight with Him against the evil powers, against Satan's forces. We would join in this conflict, in this spiritual conflict. I was thinking about this. You know, in this country, when we train soldiers to go fight in the wars or in any conflict that we may be involved in this country, we go to the young people for the soldiers. No one is going to enlist me at my age to fight in a war. But they're going to look to you. Many of you are just at the right age. And they are looking to you because you're bright, you're young, your mind is clear, you're not occupied with so many things of the world, and you can give yourself, now this is talking about the United States military, right? You can give yourself to protect your country. And you can be single for that and absolute for that for those years that you would serve. And it's really no different in the Lord's army. Satan is attacking you at a very young age, so you need to learn how to fight. You need to learn how to overcome him. You need to learn how to resist him, even at a very young age. And so you're not too young for this. So I hope that we all could open to this word. And then secondarily, we are not fighting alone. You know, if you join the armed forces, you're not fighting alone. You're a part of an army. You're a part of a large army, the United States Army or the Air Force or the Navy. You're a part of a large group of people who are trained and skilled and know how to fight together. And they know how to take care of each other and how to protect each other and fight together. It's the same in this spiritual conflict, in this spiritual warfare. We are fighting together. You might want to write this down. As the body of Christ. The church is involved in this warfare. And we're going to get into these verses in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul writes that we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we may stand, right, And having done all to stand, we're going to get into the details of this armor, but I want you to understand right from the beginning, this armor is not for us individually. It is for us corporately as the church, the body of Christ. So we are here fighting together and going on together in this marvelous matter of the conflict between the two kingdoms. So let's open to our outline, and we'll come to message one. Let's read the title together. The Church Engaging in Spiritual Warfare to Defeat God's Enemy and to Bring in the Kingdom of God. I think we all know Genesis 1:26, when God created man, He created man in His image, and He gave man dominion over all these elements, especially over the creeping things, right? So, image and dominion. Image and dominion. And I think you all should know that image is for expression. We were created as vessels to contain God, to express Him. And dominion is related to dealing with God's enemy. God needs to deal with His enemy. And He's chosen to do that in a very particular way. We'll get into some more details, but, you know, Satan is a creature. God created the angels and the archangels, and Lucifer was one of God's archangels. And he was given a lot of authority over the earth, and he was a beautiful archangel, and he was very gifted. But one day, this Lucifer rebelled against God. And we'll see that in the verses a little bit later. And once he did that, when he rebelled against God, there became a conflict. Before that time, there was no conflict. God's will was being carried out with no problem. Only God's will in this universe was being carried out. But when Satan rebelled, and then he caused one-third of the angelic beings, of the angelic hosts, to rebel with him, now there is a conflict. Now there are two kingdoms, Satan's dark kingdom and God's kingdom. And God judged the devil on the cross in Christ, and Christ is fully victorious over the enemy and judged him and defeated him.
Amen.
And we'll get into that in the last outline. We need to spend more time praising the Lord for His victory.
Amen.
When you praise the Lord, the enemy is defeated. The enemy is totally defeated because Christ is the victor.
Amen.
He has won the victory. And I hope that in these few days together, we can see we need to be in Christ. We need to be found in Christ. We need to put Him on as all these items of the armor of God. All of them are experiences of Christ. And we'll get into this in some marvelous detail. Just a little example. The enemy is always shooting fiery darts into our mind. You know, this is kind of like ancient warfare. Recently, we had a worldwide news, I think on the cover of every newspaper, that Notre Dame burned, right? And the spire was, that was quite a shocking, you know, video of the spire at Notre Dame in flames and then crumbling down. And some of the brothers were questioning when they saw this. They asked us, how can, Notre Dame is a stone building. It's all stone. How can it burn? And then we had to help them realize, yes, these old cathedrals, and they are all stone until you get to the roof. And the roof is wood. And it always has been wood. And I read something of an article. They're concerned that they may not be able to build the roof out of the same materials because there are no longer any trees that big to build those rafters. Anyway, that's not my point. My point is that in the ancient warfare, this is the way that the ancient armies used to fight. There were big walls around the cities, and you couldn't penetrate them. So, but inside the city, all of the houses and all of the buildings and all of the compounds, they had wooden roofs or even grass thatch roofs. So they would take an arrow, And on the end of the arrow, where the where you usually have the arrowhead, they would wrap some cloth or some kind of porous material and tie it up there and dip it in oil. And they would pull it out and they would get ready. And when they were ready to shoot, they would light the end of the arrow, and there would be this flaming arrow, and they would shoot it over the wall. They didn't care where it landed. Anywhere it landed is probably going to start a fire because all the roofs were made of wood. And that's something that the Bible talks about that the enemy is doing to us. He's shooting these flaming darts. And you receive that thought, and all of a sudden that thought starts burning in your brain and occupying you and weakening you and damaging you. It's not your thought. It's not your thought. It's Satan's thought. I don't know what it is, but, maybe you come to the young people's meeting and there's a new brother that just migrated from a new locality, and for some reason you just don't like the way he looks. And it's in your mind, there's this thought, he looks so weird. Where does he come from? What is that? That's not your thought. It's Satan driving some thought in you that's going to cause you to have some problem with this brother. Or someone gives a testimony and you think, oh, that's a terrible testimony. That's Satan's dart to drive a wedge between you and that saint. We don't have to take that thought. We need the helmet of salvation. We need Christ as our covering. Christ to cover us from these flaming darts. Sometimes you need to exercise your will and you say, no, and just pull it out and throw it down. I'm not going to take that thought. That's the devil's thought. But we are involved in this warfare. We are involved. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to be involved or not, I don't know if this makes sense to many of you, but in World War II, there was a country that wanted to be neutral, Switzerland. So they didn't side with anybody. They didn't side with the Allies. They didn't side with the Axis powers. They wanted to stay neutral. Well, there is no neutrality in this warfare. We are involved. In fact, in some sense, we are the battleground the enemy is fighting over. Satan wants to gain us, and God wants to gain us. We're in the midst of this warfare. So, if you're a believer, you're not too young. You're enlisted. You're in the army now. Yes, sir. In the army now. Okay. Let's look at Roman numeral 1. Let's read it together. In order to know God's economy, we need to see the spiritual things behind the physical things, the spiritual world behind the physical world. We are living in a physical world, and we have a body to contact all the things in the physical world. But there is a spiritual world, and there are spiritual things behind the physical world. And we have a human spirit to contact those things. So we need to see that behind the physical things that are taking place, there is something spiritual going on. And this portion in Daniel is a very good portion to let us know about these two realms or these two worlds. In the book of Daniel, in chapter 10, Daniel began to pray to the Lord because there was a decree that the king had put out that no one can pray to anyone, right, except to the Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel began to pray, and he prayed for 3 weeks straight. Every day he prayed for three weeks to the Lord for this, and then eventually we come to verse 12. Let me read it to you. And in verse 12, the angel came, the messenger from the Lord came to speak to Daniel to let him know that his prayers were heard. His prayers were heard. It could have been, we don't know which angel this was. Most likely this was Gabriel, probably. But anyway, we don't know exactly. And he said to me, this is to Daniel, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand this matter, Daniel had had a dream, and he needed to know the interpretation of this dream, and to afflict yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words, because you were praying for these 3 weeks, I have come. But, he said in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. He was sent by God to answer Daniel's prayer. But the prince of Persia, this is an evil prince of the satanic kingdom, some demonic prince that was given rule over the country of Persia, was fighting against him, was resisting him, and not allowing him to get to Daniel. He withstood me for 21 days. But now, Michael, one of the chief princes, this is the archangel Michael, right, came to help me, for I remained there alone with the kings of Persia. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. So I go forth, this is verse 20, and the prince of Javan is about to come. That's the prince of Greece. So more of these princes are about to fight in the spiritual realm. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who holds strongly with me against these ones except Michael, your prince. So in the book of Daniel, we see that there's something going on. Daniel's praying for this dream that he had, for this interpretation. And God wants to answer that dream. But there are spiritual forces in the heavenlies. And as the angel's trying to get there, these evil forces are resisting him and are fighting him. Brothers and sisters, we have to realize there is a spiritual realm, right? And there are spiritual things, this spiritual world, behind the physical realm. So whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, we need to realize in the spiritual realm, there's a battle there. And God is warring on our behalf. Okay? Let's have the sisters read A. And then brothers on B.
In our fighting, we deal not with things that appear on the surface, but with the power of darkness behind these things.
Amen. And then all of us, let's read Revelation, letter C. Revelation 12 presents a great vision concerning the war in heaven, the warfare in the universe between God and his enemy. The vision in this chapter unveils the true situation in the universe, the view that God's enemy is fighting against him. Before I get to C, Revelation 12 is a very important chapter, and I'm going to read these verses to you. Before I get there, I want you to notice these verses in letter B. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, and raised us up together with him and seated us together with him in the heavenlies in Christ. Amen. So I want you to write this down. We are seated in the heavenlies with Christ.
Amen.
And for this battle, for this warfare, we are fighting from Christ's ascension. We're not fighting from the earth. We're fighting from the heavens, down at the evil powers. We are in Christ's victory, and we are fighting from Christ's victory. So this verse is very important. Then 6:12, for our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the world rulers of this darkness. And then Song of Songs 4:8 is quite something. This is an allegory, of course, the Song of Songs, and the Solomon, which represents Christ here, King Solomon, is calling her, his lover, up to the high mountain, which is represents ascension. So he says, come with me from Lebanon, my bride. With me from Lebanon come. Look from the top of Amana, that means the high mountain, Manna means truth. From the top of Seir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the leopard's mountains. Even in the mountains, there are these evil forces, the lion's dens. And the fight is in ascension. So I hope that we realize this. We are fighting with the Lord in His ascension. Now, Revelation 12 gives us quite a picture here. I want to read this to you. Verses 1 through 4. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth, and being in pain to bring forth. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, there was a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And his tail drags away the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood there before the woman who was about to bring forth, so that when she brings forth, he might devour her child. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels went to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they did not prevail. Neither was their place found any longer in heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, he who deceives the whole inhabited earth. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Amen. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child. And verse 17. And the dragon became angry with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. In the end of this age, the woman here represents the church, and she is about to bring forth a child. She's with child. And she brings forth a man-child, and that man-child represents the overcomers that are within the church, the stronger part of the church. And the devil is there waiting for this man-child to come out to devour the overcomers, to devour them, to, you know, kill them, so that they will not bring in the Lord's coming. The overcomers are there as the ones who have matured, as the ones who have ripened, the ones who have grown in life and have been faithful in service, to be the bride of Christ for the Lord to come back and end this age and deal with the enemy for good, and so to carry out God's execution, his judgment upon Satan. This is the picture in Revelation 12. There is a war going on in heaven. And eventually, Michael and his angels will cast the devil down, and that he will no longer there be war in heaven. He will be on the earth, persecuting the believers on the earth. This is a very, very, this is very real. And this is our first point in this first Roman numeral, is we need to see this. There is a spiritual warfare going on. There is a spiritual realm that is very real, even though we can't see it, but we're affected by it, and those spiritual forces are trying to affect us. You know, when I was first read these verses as a young Christian and even coming into the church life, I thought, all of this has to take place in the future. But when we saw this in this conference, in these outlines, and in these recent years, I realized, no, this is going on right now. Write this down. In the churches, brothers, sisters, in the churches, all of the young people, you need to know this. The Lord is bringing forth and trying to deliver the man-child. And He wants you to be a part of that man-child. So He's growing in you. He wants to increase in you and spread in your heart. And He wants you to grow in life, to be a part of this man-child, to bring him back, to be the bride prepared to bring him back. He wants you to be faithful with the talent He's given you, with the service you have in the church life. You're not too young for this. He wants you to be part of this man-child. That is going on right now. It's not just going to happen at the very end, the Great Tribulation. No. That will be the final bringing forth of the man-child. But it takes time to grow in life. It takes time to be part of, to overcome, right? So right now, we are in this process. We are in this matter. Okay. Now, let's look at Roman numeral 2. Read it together. Spiritual warfare is necessary because Satan's will
is set against God's will.
Here you have Satan's will, and it's set against God's will. And in Matthew 6:10, the Lord taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth." This is God's will. And we need to pray and stand with Him that His will would be done on the earth as it is in the heavens. And then in verse 7:21, listen, this is quite striking. The Lord said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens." You know, some will come to him and say, "Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We heal people in your name." And the Lord will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness." Because they were not living a life according to God's will. They were doing good Christian work, so to speak, but not according to God's will. So the Lord said, "I don't recognize that. I don't recognize that." And they will be cast into outer darkness. It's a serious thing. Now, these verses in Isaiah 14 talk about the satanic will. Let me read them to you. This is a prophecy concerning Lucifer, concerning Satan. "How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. How you have been hewn down to earth, you who made nations fall prostrate. But you said in your heart," and here's what he said. Five times he says, "I will." Listen. "You have said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will exalt my throne, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the uttermost parts of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." This is Satan expressing his will. He wants to be God. He wants to have that position and that authority. Then Isaiah 14:15 says, "But you will be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit." So, letter A says, "If we would know how the church as the new man can be God's warrior to engage in spiritual warfare, we need to realize in the universe there are three wills." Underline that. In the universe there are three wills. The divine will, the satanic will, and the human will. Three wills. B says, "Spiritual warfare has its source in the conflict between the divine will and the satanic will." And you have that verse again. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Brothers, read 1 under B. Lucifer's
pride in his high position and beauty gave rise to an evil intention, which became the satanic will.
Sisters, 2. I don't know if we understand this or realize this, but the source of all the fighting that is now taking place among nations, all the fighting among different peoples, in society, all the arguments between the different ethnicities and all these kinds of things happening in society, in the family, there's conflict in the family, and even some siblings may be fighting against each other. Sometimes even between the parents, there's discord. And within individuals, right? Even within ourselves, There's fighting going on. You know, now the statistics show that there's, you know, your generation, Generation Z, the most connected generation ever to be on the face of the earth, you living on, you know, in social media and in a virtual, you know, reality, trying to tweet something or put something on Instagram or on some social platform to get how many likes so that you can have more likes than anyone else, trying to be, you know, verified and have some, you know, self-esteem, are the most lonely generation ever to live on the earth. Most lonely. But you're the most connected. You have more friends on Facebook than anybody has. You have more people following you on this one, this platform and that platform than anybody has. But the statistics show us, and we've heard this, but you are the most lonely generation. There's even conflict in ourselves with what we're doing and how we're living our lives. There's conflict. That all has its source in the conflict between these two realms. It's quite something. It's quite something. And I heard recently that there was a writer, Saul Alinsky, and he wrote a book in the 30s about crowdfunding and gathering money for political parties to gain power and so forth. And that, you know, one of our political parties uses this book as their Bible, as how to carry out their, you know, their way to get money and to raise things and to gain power in the countries. And not probably not just in this country, but maybe in other countries, they also use this man's book. And in the foreword of this book, he gives credit to all of his thoughts and ideas to the first rebel, Lucifer, who gained his own kingdom by rebelling against God. Quite striking. So without realizing it, we may be following something like this, you know, and without realizing the source of this thing. And this point brings it out. All of the conflict, right? All of the fighting that is taking place is from this source. It takes place from this source. Okay, letter C. Let's read it together. God wants his creature man to deal with his fallen creature Satan. For this, the human will must stand. This is one of the most important points in this Roman 2. For this, the human will, underline that, or circle that, the human will must stand with the divine will. I don't know why God designed it this way. Satan rebelled, and God judged him. And then God further judged him in Christ on the cross, nailing him to the cross through the flesh, and nullifying death, and dealing with the devil at the cross, and now that judgment must be executed, and Satan must be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. But it's God's will that he would not do this himself. He's not going to take a creature that he has created, even who rebelled and who caused all these problems, he's not going to execute his judgment on him directly. He's judged him, no question. Satan is defeated. Christ is victor. But to carry out the execution of that judgment, his choice is to use another creature who has a free will. Write that down. You have a free will. And so did Lucifer. God's creatures have a free will. And he needs us to choose where will we be in this warfare. Who will we side with? On which side are we fighting? We have to choose. Our human will must stand one way or the other. There's no Switzerland here. Either you're on the Lord's side or you're not. And you may say, no, 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 I'm not on the devil's side, but I just don't want to be on the Lord's side. Well, there's no neutrality. Our will has to side with one. There are only three wills in the universe. And which will you side with? Which will you give yourself to? And the last point in the outline talks about consecration. That's the end of this message, the burden of this message. Who will you give yourself to? It's a matter of your will. I think I've said this to you before, young people. Your will is the strongest thing in the universe. God cannot force you to do anything, and neither can the devil. You choose to do what you want to do. You choose how you spend your time during the day. You choose how much time you give to this or to that, how much time you study, how much time you waste, how much time you give to the Lord. You choose. It's your choice. And so we have to learn, especially related to this matter of the conflict between the two kingdoms, we have to learn to exercise our will. This is not an emotional matter. This is not in one sense, it's not just to exercise your spirit. Yes, we always need to exercise our spirit. But in this case, in this matter, what will we choose? Will we side with God's will or will we not side with God's will? Amen. Our will is the most important matter. Let's read D together. As the church, our fighting is to subdue the satanic will and defeat God's enemy. We have Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. Let me just read these verses to you. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Write this down. We need to stand. This is a defensive position. The whole armor of God, all the first items of the armor, except for the last one, are all defensive items. They're the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the shoes of the firm gospel of peace. All of them are for standing. This is a wrestling match. How many of you have ever wrestled in junior high or high school? Any wrestlers? Oh, really? Only a few. I was a wrestler in junior high. Yeah, I love to wrestle. Wrestling is not boxing. Wrestling is, you know, and the whole idea is to keep standing. And the way you win is to get the other person off their feet so they're not standing, and you pin their shoulders to the mat for, I think, 3 or 4 seconds or something like that, and then the referee pounds the mat. You're the winner. You have to stand. And the whole idea is to try to get you off balance and to knock you down. This is the kind of warfare we're in. Satan wants to knock you down, but we need the whole armor of God to stand, to withstand the attack, and to stand for the Lord. That is very meaningful, to stand for the Lord. It has to do with our testimony. What are we standing for? At your school, at your high school, do your friends know that you love the Lord? That you belong to Him? Right? That you love His Word? That's a testimony. That's a stand. You know, when I came into the church life, I began to go to all these meetings. And my friends wondered, what are you doing every night? I'm going to the meeting. Going to the church meeting. Oh, church meeting. Oh, I said, yeah, I love the Lord Jesus. And after a while, they started to realize that was my stand. And so, you know, in the beginning, they would say, oh, come on, we're going to have a party. Come on over. Nope, I'm going to the meeting. Oh, come on, we're going to go out here. We're going to go drinking over there. And nope, I'm going to the meeting. And eventually, that testimony was my stand. We need to stand. And that is a choice of our will. We have to make a determination, a resolve in our will to stand for the Lord. Okay, Romans 3, altogether. The purpose of spiritual warfare is to bring in the kingdom of God. This is our goal. Why are we fighting in this warfare? It's so that the Lord's kingdom could come to the earth. Amen. To bring in the kingdom of God. And eventually, that will happen. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel trumpeted, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever."
Amen.
I think when the angel sounds this, our amen will be a little stronger than that.
Amen.
He will reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Right. Wow, that's marvelous. He will reign forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Then, brothers, A. Spiritual warfare is the warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom
of Satan.
Amen. And sisters, B. This is something very meaningful. Sometimes we think, and I have thought this in the past, you may think this now, that the kingdom of God will come when the time is right, and you know, when the Lord knows when that's going to happen, and He will bring the kingdom to the earth at the right time. It's not going to come automatically. It will not come automatically. That's why there's the need of the spiritual fighting. We have to be those who are fighting spiritually, to bring in the kingdom of God. Then see all together. The responsibility of the church is to continue the warfare that Christ fought on the earth. The church must continue
the victorious.
This is our responsibility, brothers and sisters. We are the church. And we have a responsibility, which is to continue the warfare that Christ fought on the earth. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children have shared in blood and flesh, He Himself also in like manner partook of the same, that through death He might, what? Destroy him who has the might of death, that is, the devil. In the flesh, as a man, the Lord Jesus destroyed him.
Amen.
Who has the might of death. That is the devil. And we need to continue His work of destroying the devil in our fighting the spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, D, brothers.
The kingdom of God is the exercise of the divine will.
Overthrowing of the power of Satan by the power of God. Your kingdom come.
Amen.
Your will be done.
Amen.
We fight by praying. Write this down. One aspect of our warfare is by praying. And we'll get to this later in the week. All the items of the armor we need to receive and put on by means of all prayer. We need to fight by praying. Recently, we've been covering this book, The Prayer Ministry of the Church. And even though I've read this book before, I'm very freshly impressed with this book.
Amen.
The church has a ministry, a prayer ministry.
Amen.
And you can see this in Matthew, we've read those verses in Matthew 6. You can also see it in Matthew 18, where it says, whatever you bind on the earth, who's you that's binding it? Giovanna, who's you there? Whatever you bind on the earth, who's the one binding? Is that the prayer we have to God? Or is that us binding? We're not praying, but we're binding. It's the church binding.
Amen.
In Matthew 18. Whatever you, the church, binds on the earth shall be bound in the heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth shall be loosed in the heavens. I used to always think, I'm sorry to pick on you, Gio, but you know, I used to always think, we pray, Lord, bind. And we do pray this, right? Having the gospel meeting. Lord, bind the enemy, bind the enemy. But actually, we don't need to pray, Lord, bind the enemy. We need to just say, Satan, you are bound.
Amen.
And my neighbor, Tom, is loosed. Come to this gospel meeting.
Amen.
Whatever we bind, you know what that means? Write this down. Earth controls heaven. This is spiritual warfare. This is the prayer of authority. Earth controls heaven. It doesn't say, we pray, Lord, bind. No. It's whatever you bind and whatever you loose, then the Lord. Of course, it has to be according to the Lord's will. You know, Lord, you need to loose my salary so I get three times as much money. That's not going to happen, okay? That's not the Lord's will. But to bind the enemy, to loose the saints, to loose the gospel, that's according to God's will. So we just need to exercise the prayer ministry of the church. Amen. Okay, have we read E?
No.
Let's read E. Wherever the devil has been cast out, and whenever the work of the enemy has been displaced by God's power,
the kingdom of God is there.
Kingdom of God is there. Whenever a devil is displaced, the kingdom of God is increasing. It's coming more to earth. It's enlarging. The realm in which God is ruling is getting bigger. Now, we come to this last point. Psalm 110:3, just the first part. Well, I'm going to read you the whole verse, I think. Psalm 110:3 says this, your people will offer themselves willingly, underline that, willingly, in the day of your warfare, in the splendor of their consecration, circle consecration. And then this last phrase, which is not in our Roman numeral 4, is your young men, that's quite something, your young men will be to you like the dew from the womb of the dawn. This is a very precious verse. For this spiritual warfare, we need to exercise our will to choose. And here, this verse is talking about to choose what? To choose to offer ourselves willingly. It's a willful choice. It's not an emotional choice. We're not here trying to stir up your emotion tonight. It's a willful decision that you would want to offer yourselves willingly to the Lord. Today is the day of His warfare. It's not sometime in the future. It's today. This warfare is raging right now. And the Lord is asking us if we will offer ourselves willingly to Him in the day of the warfare. And then this phrase, in the splendor of their consecration. When you offer yourself to the Lord, and I mean willfully, soberly, don't do this emotionally, but when you give yourselves to the Lord, that is a splendor to Him. And the rest of the verse, it's like dew in the morning to Him when you offer yourself to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, those of us who have been around many more years and have offered ourselves to the Lord, we have to let you know that when you do this, you are giving yourself to the Lord to work on you. It's not just to do something for the Lord. It's to allow the Lord to work on you. Allow the Lord to put you in basic boot camp, to train you, to make you ready for this battle. And it's not a cheap matter. It's a costly matter. You give yourself to the Lord to live to Him, to love Him, to pursue Him, to know Him, it will cost you. It will cost you. I don't know what the price will be to you. I know what the price was to me to some degree. It's costly. But listen, I don't regret it for one second. Amen. Whatever it costs, matters not. because I am on the Lord's side.
Amen.
And fighting this battle is real. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. Satan likes and often attacks us from many angles. But Christ is victor. He has crushed the devil already.
Amen.
So we can say he is under our feet as well, right?
Amen.
Because we have been ascended and we are sitting at the right hand of God. We are there sitting with him in the heavenlies. But anyway, I do want to mention this, that this is a matter of our free will. So I hope that tonight you would spend a little time with the Lord and open to him.
Amen.
Don't do anything quickly. Don't do anything out of your emotion, but you may have some feeling to give yourself to the Lord. That's okay. Go ahead. You're not too young. You're not too young. But I want you to understand, there will be a price to pay. I'm not sure what that is for every one of you. It's going to be different for different ones, but it is a voluntary free will offering. Amen. Okay, did we read A? Let's read A all together. In a spiritual sense, we are now in the day of Christ's warfare. And for this, offering to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 22 says, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of the house of Israel or of the sojourners in Israel presents his offering, whether it is any of their vows or of their free will offerings which they present to Jehovah for a burnt offering." Anyone can do this. It's a free will offering. And Deuteronomy 12:6 says, "And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and the heave offering of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock." We bring it to the Lord. Things that we have, things that we've done, we bring that to the Lord and offer it to the Lord. Let's finish by reading B together. In order to engage spiritual warfare, to defeat God's enemy and bring in the kingdom of God, we need an absolute, thorough consecration to the Lord.
In the eyes of God, such consecration is a matter of splendor.
Luke 14, the Lord mentions you need to count the cost. This is not an easy way to offer yourself to the Lord willingly. There's a price to pay. You need to count the cost. So don't do this quickly. But I encourage you to spend some time this weekend with the Lord, open to the Lord. This is a good environment, right? Whenever we come to Penuel, we want to see God face to face. We can spend some time with God face to face and see if there's any feeling in us to join him in this conflict of the two kingdoms and to be one with him for his defeat of the satanic kingdom and bringing in of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
How about we pray with our neighbor and then we have a few minutes for some confirmation of this word.